Now, the rest of the story. Newcomers to the New England countryside are routinely warned. Should one go hiking near the bogs and encounter a particular berry, he should leave it alone. Forbidden fruit, not edible. An unsuspecting city slicker probably would not die from eating it, though he might think he was dying, because the berry is an astringent, loaded with acid. Its mere presence in the mouth causes violent contraction of tissue. Virtually on contact, saliva stops flowing, the mouth dries up, the tongue swells, the lips distend painfully. Rabbits, bears, deer, animals characteristically fond of berries won't even go near this one. Because it grows in acid soils, of peat and vegetable mold, even its plant companions are limited. Among its few fine-rooted friends is poison ivy. That's the kind of company this berry keeps. If one were determined to eat some, he'd have to drown 4 cups of berries in 2 full cups of refined sugar, but no thank you, you say. You're in no way inclined to partake of this botanical bummer. Well, as you might have imagined, the bitter berry with no apparent earthly use is used for something. As happens with many poisonous or otherwise inedible fruits and herbs, the story of this particular bitter berry is steeped in legend. It was once believed, for example, that the American Indians of the Northeast relished it as a food. No way. These Indians did, however, use the berries as dye for blankets, as poultices for wounds, as peace offerings on occasion. One Delaware Indian chief handed them out as souvenirs at peace festivals. Their supposed curative power is the basis for most misconception. It was once suggested that a mixture of the berry juice with seal oil would cure distress of the gallbladder. According to some, the berries, when fried, will cure a sore throat. Well, now that one may make sense, because even a small dose of those berries will make the patient forget most other pains. Well, those are the legends. What are the facts? In 1683, the American colonists did discover a way to get those berries past the mouth and into the stomach. What they did was to mash them up with water, oatmeal, and rum. Heavy on the rum. Well, history pretty much ignores the berry after that, at least until the early 1800s, when a man named Henry Hall came along, and Henry discovered a way to grow those berries while limiting the interference of unfriendly weeds. The logical next question, of course, is who cares? Well, you do. You really do, because this year, Americans alone, just United States of Americans, 6% of the world's population, will consume 2.5 million barrels of those berries. That's right, that's more than $200 million worth. Our forefathers gave them the name that you know. They thought the springtime blossom resembled a bird's beak, specifically the beak of a crane, frequently seen around the marshes on Cape Cod. And so the bitterberry, for which there was no apparent earthly use, the tiny inedible fruit made palatable through food processing with lots and lots of sugar, you're going to be enjoying during Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. The crane, named after the bird, remember? The craneberry. The cranberry. Anyway, now you know the rest of the story.